Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Puzzle Piece Podcast, the podcast dedicated to giving you tips and tricks about making it in the music industry. In the spirit of reconciliation, Puzzle Piece Podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. On today's episode, we're speaking to Miller Nile, an act hailing from Sweden who's been living in Australia for the last little bit, whose unique blend of all different elements has garnered a lot of attention across Australia. Thanks for joining us today, Mila.
Well, then diving into your story over the last few days, so obviously you moved to Sydney from Sweden. Was that kind of to pursue this career, or was there like potentially something else behind it?
Well, I first came to Australia when I was 18 years old. So it was always like a kind of dream of mine since I was a kid that I was going to just come here and do the backpacking thing. And I did that for a couple of years and then I just loved it so much. And I moved back to Sweden for a couple of years, but I've pretty much been here for the last 10 years. It's been, yeah, it just feels right. And the music was, I guess, always going to be a part of my life. And because I've been living in Sydney now for 5 years, it's, it kind of just happened here.
And then back in Sweden, did you do music in school? And was there kind of a scene? Because obviously, as you know, the scene in Australia is massive. Was there kind of a similar type of scene that you could make the most of in Sweden?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much good music that comes from Sweden. And I think when I lived there, I wasn't necessarily so into pop. I was more in like heavy rock and metal and would go mostly to those kind of concerts. But then in my studies, I actually studied musical theater. So it's kind of polar opposites as far as like musical influences goes.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's just two vast things. And then what kind of influence do you feel like that had on your creation? Did you kind of feel yourself, maybe when you're in a creative moment, did you feel yourself pulling influences from both sides, like the theater side and the metal side?
I do think that you take a little bit of everything with you. I don't think I can I probably can't hear so much of the metal side in my music now that I kind of do more pop. But I can definitely hear the musical theater side kind of come through. It's like a little bit dramatic, which I think is just my emotional state most of the time anyways.
Yeah. Then in terms of like, for you early on in your career here in Sydney, or not here in Sydney for you, what was it like getting out there and meeting people? Well, that's something that a lot of musicians that listen to this want to know, that there's a whole big thing of like creating a network of people and a community around you to kind of promote your career and get out there. So for you, did that kind of happen in your career, and what were some of the ways you went about doing that?
I think it was really slow to start with because I was really shy and maybe just feeling like you don't belong in it, and not having that kind of childhood connection to friends in school that you've played music with and stuff before that I would have back in Gothenburg. Like, that was quite challenging. But I think as soon as you start playing live shows, that kind of happens organically. So to start off with, I did like a couple of like, there's like a small pop show called Pop Church at Knox Street Bar in Sydney. And that was kind of like the first concert where there was like three other acts playing the same night. So that was a really nice organic way to meet people. And then you kind of kept meeting those same people at other shows. And then through that, we just started putting together like our proper like live band, because before it's only been two of us on stage. And then you can kind of ask one of those contacts like, oh, do you know a bass player? And then you kind of get new connections that way. And I also did, I did like a proper attempt on like hosting a pop night myself. So I threw like, and this was before COVID. So that kind of, it's, you know, not happening right now, but we did two shows. So I kind of like invite artists to come play. And that's a really nice way to meet people too, because you're actually giving them the opportunity to stand on the stage and kind of like connect with their audience.
Yeah. So then you reckon a lot of meeting people, whether it be like fellow musicians or even more on the business side of music, just playing shows is a really key way to go about starting your career in the early stages.
Yeah, I think so. And it can be hard to book those first shows, but it is different to, I guess, meet face to face and just to encourage each other when like someone else is on stage as well.
Yeah, and that's something I'd like to dive into a little bit more. So what's the actual process like of you booking this pop show? Did something come across your, I don't know, emails, or you came across a website that was looking for artists? Or were you approached for it because you had your music in a specific location?
I think for Pop Church, it was them reaching out to me. So Alicia, who runs that, she's just very connected to the Sydney scene, and she just seen my name kind of around. And then, I mean, places like just having your music available on Earth and stuff, that's kind of how I got some of my support slots, have been people kind of scrolling through on Earth and coming across your songs and then reaching out like that. And I know you can kind of go the way of approaching booking agents and stuff and kind of seeing if your music can fit with someone that they book. But I think they tend to lean towards using someone that they have already in their system. But that's like another way that you can kind of at least try to get your name out there. And then maybe next time when they see you, they will remember that you contacted them.
Okay. Then for more of like the business side of music, so for you, I know you, there's probably a lot of your career and a lot of people I'm speaking to, their career is still very self-managed, but there's a couple of people in certain spots, whether that be like PR or merch or something, they do have people there to help them out with that. Mm. And has that kind of been the case for you, or do you do a lot of it yourself still?
Still do a lot of it myself. So I've tried a little bit of everything. Like I had A&R for a little while. We've done PR for one single. But most of the time it kind of ends up just falling back into, you know how to do this. Like it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, but a lot of it, if you just kind of like get stuck in, you can do it. So then it kind of gets to the point, like, where do you want to, I guess, spend your budget? So kind of looking into like, oh, what am I good at and what can I do myself versus like, where do I need that help? And I get help from like my collaborator, Simon, as well. So he kind of does more of the hustle side of things, because that's something that I'm not good at. I find it very hard to kind of like go out and like sell your own music because it's so personal. So he'll kind of help with that side of things. And then I will focus more like, I love creating the visuals and like the aesthetics and all of the assets that we use when we approach people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do recall reading a lot about how you loved the photography side of it and the visual aspect of music. So I guess it's kind of a matter of, there's some things that musicians like doing and that's what they should really stick to doing. And other bits where they might not be as confident, that's when it makes sense to find other people, yeah?
Totally. And I think like if you can find those right people that can help you, then that's great. But it is kind of, yes, you do need to give a little bit of that control away then. But no, I think it's if you find the right people, it's always nice to have the help.
Yeah, of course. And then more on the like musical side of it. So obviously you mentioned before, Triple J Unearthed, and I know that's played a good big part in your career and getting your music out there to potential ears of listeners, but what are some of the other, I suppose, initiatives maybe, or what else could you say, like stations that you think people should really use or that you used in your career?
I mean, definitely SYN. Like you're excellent. So, I mean that's such a good station to get in touch with. And then I guess more Sydney-based, FBI is, you know, really ingrained in the music scene here as well. So get in touch with those. And I guess just get your music up on air it and make sure that it's available for stations to find it as well, because we've been contacted by, you know, small local stations in like the suburbs of Sydney who's kind of like, oh, we're going to play your song, and I haven't contacted them. So you know that there's like, there is a way that people can come across it, even when you're not aware of how they get there.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing, actually. And then more on the like songwriting side of it now, for you, what's the kind of process like? I know you mentioned before, and I remember reading that you work with the assignment to kind of work on music. I recall reading an interview that you did where you mentioned that as well. And then what's that kind of process like? And is there anything you've picked up over the years that you reckon will be a useful tool for people who want to create music and get their songs out there?
I guess it's just finding your people. It's, I mean, some people would definitely prefer to write on their own, but I think it can be really helpful to get another person in, whether that is a like a co-writer, or if it's a producer that just helps you kind of refine your writing. Because I think you can only get it to a certain point, and then it's really nice to have someone else come in and kind of like make sure that the message is clear. Because obviously in your head, everything makes sense. But it can be great to have someone else just kind of looking over it and kind of be like, oh, maybe that melody could be a little bit stronger or things like that. So I think, because I've written with a lot of other people before, and me and Simon, like, we've been together for a really long time, and we didn't used to write together, but we kind of, I don't know, we kind of met in the middle at some point, and it all just kind of made sense. I think we got to know each other so well that making music together started making a lot of sense. So having him to kind of bounce ideas off is very good. And then we tend to get in a producer towards the end. So once the song is finished, we usually send it, or like at least for my most recent releases, we've sent it off to a producer in LA called Hutch, and he's kind of brought his sound to it as well, which has been really exciting. So it's just kind of elevating it and, yeah, just bringing that like sparkle to it.
Yeah, I was going to mention Hutch. I just wanted to like get how someone, or how you met, how you can like find, how you found Hutch, I suppose. And then was that just through your musical connections? And what kind of influence do you feel like that's had on your career? Has it helped in getting music out there, or more on the writing side and recording side of it?
Well, we found Hutch through a platform called Sound Better. So you can kind of, you can find all sorts of musicians and music makers on there. So if you don't have the connections, that's like a really great place to go, because you can just kind of, you can put a demo out and you can have people contact you who wants to work on it, or you can write to people directly. So we kind of just lined up a few producers that we think kind of sounded close to what we were looking for. And Hutch was just this kind of like, it was all kind of instinct, because he didn't really have any references at the time that was exactly what I wanted. But it was just like the sounds he were using. I was like, oh my God, this is just something. There's something there. And I'm so happy that I like jumped on that, because we've now done 5 songs with him and he's always amazing. He like totally gets what I want and what I'm looking for, but still like adding his own like kind of unique sound to it, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, and that's interesting. And I feel like through our discussion and reading a lot about you, it seems like that's kind of maybe a thing you carry throughout the career, that if a connection feels right, it's it's meant to be.
Well, yeah, I think you just know. And I know that there's like, I think a lot of people would kind of stress the fact that you should write with lots of different people and you should produce with lots of different producers. And I think I won't like always write with Simon and Hutch. Like I do collaborations and stuff as well. But when it comes to, I guess, my own songs, it's a really safe space where I feel like I can really just get that through.
Yeah. And then for some, obviously different things work for different people, but in terms of like you or any musician out there, do you think that almost a driver to success in a way is showing it to other people? Like anything else out there, you'll never just put out your first draft of a book or or something else. That it's really, it's good to have as many ears as possible into it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think most of the time, the more brains you have on something, the better it's going to be.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing because a lot of people, it's almost like half-half, I feel. A lot of people love that co-writing and co-producing side of it. And a lot of people just like the individual whole process. It's an interesting kind of field, that area.
It's nice to kind of, I find that it can be really nice to start something on your own. So you're not going in empty-handed if you're meeting people that you haven't written with before, because that can be quite a confronting thing to be like, okay, I'm going to have my greatest ideas now. So I think it's really nice to kind of have some ideas before you bring it to other people.
Okay, so like have a few songs ready to go, and then like we were mentioning before in terms of the business side of it, and then these people can come in certain areas and really excel the song to the point of release, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. So I am limited to like 20-ish minutes for these podcasts, so I'll wrap it up with a question. If you could go back to the artist who's just getting her name out there and starting in music, would you tell her to do anything differently, or are you kind of happy with how things have gone?
I think I'm happy with how things have gone. I think it's important when you're starting out to just trust your instincts. And it sounds like such, I guess, cliche advice, but it really, really is so important because it is your music and it is your career. And along the way, you will meet, you know, industry people who will have really, really great advice for you. But there isn't like a one size fits all or like a one way to go about things. So I think it's take on the advice and think about it, but then make your own choices based on the knowledge that you've given, because everything won't make sense for your career.
Yeah. So just bring on things that feel right to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Gut feeling all the way.
Awesome. Well, that's everything that kind of is required throughout this thing. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, no worries at all. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, hope you enjoy the rest of the... How long is the lockdown meant to go for there?
Oh, God, forever, I think. It's kind of like, there's no real set date for us to get out, I don't think. It's the numbers are still really, really high. So we'll just hold out.
So, yeah. Did you have any, like... tour dates that you had to postpone or anything, or just kind of like these people down the line?
No, so we did have to cancel one show. We were meant to play just down the road from us, actually. The EP launch party is like a little bit later now, but we've got that locked in anyways. So if we're out of lockdown, we'll do a show on the 1st of October. So fingers crossed.
That was the amazing Mila Nile giving us some awesome insights about making music in the industry. Follow her over on Instagram at Mila Nile Music. Follow us over at Puzzle Piece Pod. And check out all the other 7 podcasts over at sin.org.au.